from our text in 2 Corinthians. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. And a little later in the passage, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I brought in a few helpful, books to get after our text today. The first one I brought is Out of the Silent Planet. It's a book by C.S. Lewis. And it's one of his lesser-known trilogies, one of his lesser-known children books. In a way, it's not even a children's book. But it follows a guy named Dr. Ransom, who's a philologist at a university. But he's kidnapped by a mad physicist who is looking to bring a sacrifice over to another planet in our solar system, out to what it's called Malachandra. But it ends up being Mars. They travel in this spaceship to go from Earth to Mars, and they come upon a lively planet that's actually nearing the end of its cycle of life. It's coming near its end. And so this mad scientist takes Ransom over to this planet Mars, and they come across these living figures. And it turns out Lewis is trying to convey something about the story of the scriptures through this story of fantasy, space, and just fiction. And that's what's kind of important about this. This is a fiction book. It's a story that Lewis writes. And the second book I brought is actually called, it's the one I could find in my office real quick, but it's The Gulag Archipelago. For some reason I have that in there. But I brought it because it's another book that has a story. And the author, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, right? He writes this to tell the real story of his life and his experience, to convey a truth to us that he went through and that he discovered and wants to use his real life story to teach us. And I brought these two in. I mean, they're vastly different kinds of stories telling a different message. But the important bit is that one is a real, real story about a real man who went through these things to convey some truth. But one is a fake story that doesn't tell truth, a true event. But in the same instance, Lewis is trying to convey some sort of truth behind it for us to learn, to apply to our life. And it's stuff like that, stories that give a true story or maybe a fake story, kind of gets after a struggle I go through deciding what is real in life, wondering who there is to trust. And it might be difficult to trust someone who gives you an unreal story to tell you some truth. And of course, someone like C.S. Lewis, we know, who writes various things. But there's our stories out there, narratives, as people put it, that try to convey truth for us. And sometimes they tell it through fictitious stories, but oftentimes we try to convey these things through real-life events. And lately, it's been hard for me to know what real life is, or what to trust, what message we should receive. I mean, I think the last year kind of gives us a lot of that. Maybe sometimes you experience it by wondering if my relationships are real with other people, if I'm only a pawn in someone else's game. Are my accomplishments and the talents that I have, that I use, that I gotten through, or and my successes, is that something I earned, or is it some nefarious altercation behind it all that brings me to where I'm at? And I think these books show us two stories. And their stories are importantly different because one is a work of fiction, while the other is a work of true life events. And maybe the question you might wonder is, which one is giving a truer story? There's a true story and a fake story. But even through those stories of a man going to Mars, that's fake, and one you encounter who gives his real life events, they all are types of work of art and music and pictures and things like that. They kind of do the same thing and try to communicate for us something that is real and that we can experience ourselves and feel real for us. And we can get down a whole path going into the literary things or the artistic philosophy of things, but that's not where I want to go, because what we experience that is real and right in front of us might oftentimes cause us to be skeptical and question what is real. Because when you find out that something's not real, something that you were so assured of, and it turns out to be false, the scales fall off and you might feel betrayed, lied to, deceived. What was once very real to you is simply false. Whether it be a relationship ending, a child disappoints you, people we look up to and they don't live to our expectations. These events spring out from our own perceptions, from malicious people, the way the world works, and maybe too often our own stubborn attitude that continues to want to deceive ourselves. And we do it by contemplating the future, believing something to be real all around the bend, and making our plans and holding on to something that's supposed to be bright on the other end, but can be dashed by the changes in circumstance. How do we cope? How do we deal with what is real and what is unreal? How can we discover what is assuredly real? Well, for us, we're the church. We are the beacons in the world, the light who live out the knowledge and reality of God, who sent the Son into the world to redeem us and restore us. We know how real the gospel message is for us and how real God is for us. Right? And Paul says those words, "I believed, and so I spoke. We believe, and so we also speak." I don't know about you, but it seems to me I too often from here go out into the world, and sometimes the speaking kind of goes silent and I act like the Lord isn't even there or guiding my life. And I'm not talking about speaking against God or anything like that, but I'm talking about living as if God is presently active in my life. As if my day is not consumed by his blessings to feed me, to take care of me, to provide for me house and home, much all that we confessed in the creed together and the explanation. Or that my decisions are not influenced by the call of God on my life. And as if I live as if it's not true. And maybe too often I come on Sunday and receive the message and then go back out into the world without having the Lord integrated into my life. I walk around as if he isn't there, that he's not real. And maybe the most I'll acknowledge is when I say my prayer for lunch and dinner, or when I come to worship. I believe, but I don't seem to speak outside of Sunday. Or sometimes the worst part, it may not even be that, is when you encounter especially difficult news, a tragedy that happens in my life, or someone else close to me and experiences great pain, and in those times the questions start to come, is all this even real? Lord, is all what you have done even real? Is Christ real for me? Or is it all a story with good morals to live by? Is it all just a story that's not even real and I can just take something from it to apply to my life? And if I'm honest with myself, The problem really comes down to my own suffering I have to endure. The tragedy I do see in other homes, the tragedy on the news and in a divided world, the loss and pain of people across the world. And I can't help but notice that this is all really happening. This is as real as it gets. And Lord, I can't see how what this book that you give us can all be real when I'm confronted by the reality of today. Lord, if you're real, why don't you show yourself? That's why we have Paul's words to encourage us. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You are being renewed day by day. You are becoming more real. I think part of the problem I deal with, and that we all deal with, is that we think we decide what is real, what is true. We're influenced by a world that is pretty much skeptical towards everything, which isn't necessarily bad, I guess, but then we can turn that skepticism into justifying my own decision of what is truth and what is real. As if to say, if only I had all the facts, then I can decide what is real. Then I know what is true. But the Lord is not someone we figured out, because the Lord has revealed himself to us. The Lord decides what is real and what is true. Because it was the Lord who took on real flesh and blood to show how real he is. Jesus Christ spoke real, true words to bring about the kingdom of God, to save and restore the people back to a real relationship with their Lord. And it's the Son of God who did not stay up in the clouds so that we can wait and find out and maybe figure out on our own to discover what is real. But he invaded into our world to show how real he is. This Jesus came in and was not accepted by the people he came to save. They didn't think he was the real deal, that he was maybe an imposter. And in the end, they knew how costly it would be if he was the real deal, because that means that they would lose control of their life and lose possession of what they've gained in their own truth. So they took this Jesus and nailed him to a cross to get rid of him, and they even taunted him, "If you really are the Son of God, then come down from that cross. Show yourself." But that's not how the Lord works. And Jesus died a real death, and in a moment it was as if all he said wasn't real anymore. Because how could God die? How could what he have said ended up in this way? But he did die. And yet he didn't stay dead. Because in 3 days he rose from the grave in a real resurrection. And he showed himself before his own disciples, to all his followers, and to many more. This Jesus manifested his glory and even showed his own wounds. And this is not real because I say it so many times or someone smarter than me figured it out. This is real because God sent his Son to do it. And people saw it. And they spoke of it. Part of our teaching from the Catechism today was belief in the first article, God, the creator of heaven and earth. And those opening words of Genesis begins with the Lord speaking that word. The Lord spoke creation into existence. All that we see and know and all that we have gained and loved and spoken by the Lord into existence. When Paul says then in our text that we are the same spirit of faith of which we believe and we speak, What he's saying is that when the Lord speaks, faith clings to the Lord's word. And so when that word is spoken again, the same word that was spoken at the beginning, we trust in that word being brought to us. Because what the Lord says is more real than anything we experience, because it's the Lord's word that brought the whole creation into existence, into our lives. And it's the Lord's word that showed himself in the flesh, who forgave, who's restoring, and continues to renew you day by day. So this speaking that Paul is talking about is the speaking that Jesus Christ is real for us. When we speak the Lord's words, we speak what is real because it is the Lord's. From our reading in 2 Corinthians, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, lasting for a short time. The things that are unseen are eternal." Paul's not saying that the things that we do see are unreal necessarily and are not important concerns. But what he's really saying is that they are not the end-all be-all of our experience in life. For what is unseen, the word that is spoken to us by God and claims us, it's that word that promises life and salvation. The word of Jesus Christ that dwells among us, and it's an eternal word, and it's his will to raise you to eternity. How does this all become real for you? Well, it became real in real time at your baptism, when the word of God was declared on your heart, because it wasn't just the pastor speaking those words or your family that decided to bring you in that Sunday. No, it was the word of God working and saying, "This one is mine." And that is more real than anything in creation. The Lord continues to speak that word to you every week. And when you hear the words of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, what makes this real for you is when the Lord speaks it to you and says it and tells you, "These gifts are for you, given and shed." And since we are of the same spirit of faith, we too believe, and so we speak to one another, encouraging each other with that word. And it's the word of God that continues to become more real for us. It's how the Lord remains real, is through people like you, who are part of the church, who are claimed and blessed and given this word. Yes, I know the deceptions from others might still continue, and we might be trapped in lies of the world without us being completely aware. And yes, sometimes those lies can be ones of our own, one we tell ourselves to make something real before us that's unreal. But the Lord, he continues to speak his word to you, one that is more real than anything else, because it was the word that brought the creation into existence. It's unseen, but it takes a hold of you. It can be trusted more than anything in existence. Hang on to the promises he gives you and trust in God's reality. He will not leave nor forsake you. For you are assured by his promises, promises he revealed to you. You are forgiven, you have salvation, and you are given new life in his Son. But the coolest part, I think, is that God gives his Son to claim us, And by the Holy Spirit, he sends us out with his word so that we use our words to speak that realness to others. And not only in speaking necessarily, but also showing the realness of God, the Lord, in our actions and in our vocations. It's in those responsibilities in life that the Lord has called you to be a part of and to take care of. So let's be real. As you all know, what you do says something about you, and it communicates to the rest of the world the hope that you have. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say something to the world by proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And so just as you go from here, what you do speaks truth and realness from what you've been given. You bring comfort and care to loved ones. You reorient yourself before God, knowing all that we see comes from him. And we are in his gracious care. You are now an instrument of the Father's gracious care to extend it to others, to be flesh and blood in people's lives, to speak to them and create something real right before them. Let's be real. In the name of Jesus, amen.